Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
There's one chip and only one chip for the guacamole. That's that Cantina Gold, thick in the yellow bag.
Mm-hmm. It's Mike Shope.
No thin crisp, no scoops. Get out of here with hint of lime. Horrendous choice.
And the Bulldog.
The lime is just too much lime. There's lime in the guacamole. Any more lime is too much lime. You're crossing the lime. You've crossed the lime. If you're using hint of lime in the guacamole with the lime, you've crossed the lime.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
An hour in and haven't spent a minute on Parayko. I want to do this real quick, and then fans are waiting to talk about the DJ Moore stuff, which I think is really fun and interesting. Yesterday, I was baffled. I think a lot of us were, that it kind of played out the way that it did. That you had the insiders jumping in on that this trade has been agreed to, and then, oh, wait a minute. Well, he doesn't have to go. And I just was confused by, like, why they wouldn't have known that first. But, you know, I went to college for journalism and communications, and a reporter doesn't have to wait for the player to give his consent or something. Like, if you find out there's a trade, you can report that. I just don't think most of those guys do it that way. I think it's a collaborated effort with the teams, how they get stories. You know, almost never is anything broken locally. It's all through the Schefters and the Darren Dreggers and those people. So why did it go that way? Then we had a second trade the same day where the same thing happened. That player, Weegar, eventually waived his no-trade clause and agreed. And then today, Parayko did the opposite. I just wonder if, like, how many people knew about it? And it makes me rethink, like, where does the information come from? Because the reporter doesn't want the problem with the teams or the players or anything. But when this happens, like, nobody looks good. The Sabres don't look good. They traded for a player. They might have even overpaid, but still they're going for it. They traded for a player who didn't want to play for them. We didn't have to know about that, but we do. The player doesn't look great because a lot of people with St. Louis would like to think that he would take the trade to give them the two firsts and whatever. That might still happen through another team, but to this point, there's a little bit of that. And it all just looks kind of, everybody looks disorganized when it comes to this. How many people knew, and where does the information come from? I just feel like we never really needed to know. I like knowing that this trade was agreed to, but it sort of feels like it never really needed to get out. And then the player could have said no, and it's always just like something we never heard about. So it's still interesting and kind of confusing to me, but disappointing. Travis Yost will be on with me in 25 minutes, and he'll tell you that the Sabres dodged a bullet. It's one of the first things I saw yesterday when the trade was reported, that Travis doesn't like it. If Travis doesn't like it, I don't think I like it. So I got excited about it, but maybe it's best this way. Just another blow to the psyche that here are the Sabres. I mean, they're 2 points out of first, and they can't get a 32-year-old defenseman that might not even be that good anymore. Ouch. All right, let's go to Kelsey here. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I just want to tell you, first of all, that I've listened to you guys since, I think, about 03, yeah. Whatever year that was. I actually drive a longer route home from work to make sure that I have the cell data in order to listen to you guys, you know, with the Odyssey app.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
And I have two quick points. One, you
Hey, hang on, Kelsey, before you go. Does your employer give you a hard time for the extra miles?
No, he's great. They actually pay for my gas, too.
Okay, good, good. I don't want you to get in any trouble. All right, good.
No, it's okay. The only thing I kind of disagree with about the second round trade, I don't know if I disagree or not, but didn't we get a second round pick for Diggs when we traded with Houston?
Yes, the Bills got a second round pick for Diggs a year out. So the trade was what, 2 years ago? And they got the pick for 25. Do I have my numbers right? So this would be a little richer than that because it's this year's draft. It's usually like, they say anyway, Kelsey, like a round different. So if you wanted a second next year, would be like a third this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I do agree with is your analyzation of the Rams drafting point. Something I thought you would have brought up. You didn't bring it up, but I heard earlier in the day that they actually don't even attend the combine.
It's wild.
And did this go by what their scouts say? And rather than doing these interviews with every player or, you know, bringing them in and then, you know, coming up with reasons not to pick them, you know, if they bring them in, they don't like their interview or something.
Or they do, they over-like it, to make up a word, right? They could like it too much and then fall into a trap. Yeah, Kelsey, thanks. I talked about this with Bulldog a lot yesterday. It's a great subject, how whether it's football or anything, how the job interview, you can read on this online. I'm not the expert, but I've read on it. It's really fascinating how the job interview can be counterproductive. And I think at the root of the Rams and now the Jaguars, whose GM comes from the Rams, what it is we don't want to fall into a trap. And we're just going to watch the tape. And what I do like about the Rams stuff more is that they've backloaded their drafts. So they might have traded their number one. They did that yesterday. They still have Atlantis for this draft, by the way, but they traded their own first round pick to the Chiefs. And, you know, well, that's a choice, but they get later picks or they have later picks, and that's what they've done. And they've been able to hit big on a lot of those picks, which is why they have a great team. Well, part of it. I mean, Puka Nacua is one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best, and he's a Saturday pick. So they got lucky there. There's luck in it, but they've been of the mind to pile up day three picks, and I think that that's a great move. And I'd like to see the Bills do that, which means now I've traded my second. I think I want to turn my first into 2 seconds. I might want to turn one of those into 2/3, and I want to do that dance because they need players. I mean, they took their shot today, but they still need players. So I would like to see them add picks. Thanks, Kelsey. Again, I appreciate what you said. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
How's it going? Thanks Good. For letting me call in. The DJ Moore trade today, I am not feeling very good about it. The guy quit on plays last year when the ball wasn't going to him, when he wasn't happy with the quarterback. He has come out and said that he doesn't work out in the offseason at all. Not the type of player that our old coach would want. And it's obvious that Joe Brady wanted this guy because when they drafted him, he was the OC. If Ben Johnson's only getting 600 yards out of this guy in 17 games, I can't imagine that Joe Brady's going to get much more out of him. To me, DJ Moore is more of an inside receiver who catches short passes, and he has the ability to go over the top, but he's not going to win on routes in short separation. He's going to win with his athleticism. All of this, to me, sounds like a more developed Keon Coleman. And I think we messed up when we made Joe Brady the head coach. I really do. This is it's obviously a Joe Brady move and the GM giving the head coach what he wants. The guy makes 4 years, $100 million. I think he's our second highest paid player now for someone that's what, a number two at best? I don't see where we're going with this. We're really going to get into the new stadium and what, we're going to trot out Javon Solomon as our edge rusher on the other side of Rousseau? Just, I'm not seeing where the money's going, what players are coming in. And to me, I'd rather have Connor McGovern than DJ Moore. I think Connor McGovern would help the team more than DJ Moore would.
Okay.
Just, maybe you could sway me, but
no, I'm not. Like, I'm not inclined to.
Ready to happen.
This is a phone call where I'm sort of sitting here nodding to myself, listening. Like this, a lot of this makes sense to me. I guess I want to say about the Bears that was a first year for that coach with those players and a quarterback who had, to be kind, a very uneven rookie year. And they did it through different ways. They got some luck, and then they had four, I want to say, comparable target options. So thank you, Mike. I thought that was really thought-provoking. They were not a team where I'm not holding last year against DJ Moore. I think guys get older. He's played, he never misses a game. So you look at his numbers and it's 17 starts. Like, he's very durable. It's also Diggs in this way where, like, Diggs never missed. DJ Moore never missed. But that there's also a toll that gets taken. And I'm not holding last year's numbers against him. I think the trade is egregious for what the Bills gave up. But I'm not sitting here coming from a standpoint that, like, he's done. But everybody gets older, and it comes at different times for different players. Receivers-wise, the data suggests the bigger you are, the longer you can hold off the age curve. That's what got me more into Mike Evans as an idea. I'm not as worried about him, you know, crashing out as I would be about Diggs or even DJ Moore, who's younger than Diggs. But otherwise, you know, you make some good points. Let's go to Dave next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going today?
Okay.
Good. Well, I want to talk about DJ. I'm going to hope to try to sway you guys just a little bit. I'm down here in Charlotte. Been blessed to be able to be on the field for some of the games as part of, like, the hype group for the Panthers, and got to watch DJ and get to know him a little bit personally as well. And so this is a guy who is, one, extremely classy. I've seen him go out of his way for many, many individuals, staying after games, going before the games. Never in the time that I saw him in Carolina, not denying what we saw in Chicago, take plays off. Great downfield blocker. I know the last guy was saying like kind of like a just a little better than Keon. He is much better than what Keon has shown, much more mature. His route running skills are stronger. He's a good leader for his team. I see this being as an absolute steal for us. I know some people don't like getting rid of the second rounder, and I can kind of understand that. But if we can get the production that we've seen out of him, he's going to do that, and he's going to make the other receivers much better too.
Well, that part goes without saying, I think, Dave. Like, if this is like saying if they win, it'll be worth it. Of course. I mean, if they get 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, then we're not going to care as much about the draft pick, and that's obvious. That is always true. But it's still like an if, and it really just doesn't need to be said. I mean, of course. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl 3-0, nobody's going to complain about trading for DJ Moore. So that's how that goes. I guess the accepting and appreciating all your thoughts from, you know, boots on the ground, it's not a steal. You can't, you can say things like, if we win, if this, if that, you don't have to bother wasting your breath. That's always the case. It doesn't need to ever be said. Of course that's true. The price is the point. The price is the point. And he might be the world's best guy, but I think we're talking about a player that could have been cut. And when the news broke, and it was put as a mid-round pick, I don't know, was that just wrong? Because a second-round pick is not a mid-round pick. There's no scenario where it is. Was that just wrong or what? Like, I think, like a lot of people I was reading when I was finding out about this trade, if you're talking about a Saturday pick for a guy making so much money that's probably entering the downside, all right, well, I need somebody. And I don't love the player, but it's better. And that's not what happened. So it's not a steal in my book by any stretch. It's a huge price to pay for a guy that there are questions about. But he is talented. No one says different. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Hope all's well.
I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, so I'm actually in the minority here, and I feel like I actually like the move that we made today. I think, you know, obviously don't love giving up a second-round pick, but, I mean, the plays this guy made in the playoffs were phenomenal. And I don't know, has Moore really had a top, you know, end quarterback like Allen before?
No.
I just don't think you're going to see a guy in the second round making those plays in those big moments like DJ Moore did in the playoffs this year. So I'm a fan of it. Thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, probably not as a rookie. You wouldn't expect to get what's, just to say it, pick 60 is, if you drafted, if you had to draft a wide receiver with that pick, he's wide receiver 8 in the draft. And so who would have a better season? Wide receiver 8 or this guy in a vacuum? This guy. The bet would be DJ Moore, minus 200. I mean, that would be the bet. But I don't need to tell you, the draft isn't drafting a player for 1 year. And, you know, there's big guaranteed money being bet on this guy for years, which I guess this is what reminds me of sort of like a Sabres thing, which isn't even that fair to the Sabres, but like sort of, we please like us. Here's guaranteed money, rework the deal. You know, you make your moves with the cap number and all that, which helps you always in the short term, but you still have to pay. Eventually, you still have to pay. And it's like one of these where on the plus side, you're trying to win and you're adding a good starter. Like, that's what you do. On the other side, you know, almost definitely it will become an eyesore on your cap. And you just have to hope that doesn't happen for a few years. Like Von Miller, who is older, not apples to apples, but, you know, when you trade for Von Miller or sign Von Miller, that's very exciting. And anybody ripping it is going to get ripped back because it means you hate them or something. But it was always true. Like, eventually you're going to have a problem. You're going to have to deal with the cap. And that just kind of keeps happening for the Bills. Now we're into an offseason where they've had their window, they've been close, but haven't won, haven't even gotten there. And it's just like, it piles up. And I just added to the pile with this trade. Again, like, it doesn't even need to be said. If you win, it's fine. If you win, everything's fine. Here's Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, so this DJ Moore trade, I guess you call it a love-hate relationship with it. I mean, on the one side, we needed a receiver. I get that. And going out and getting DJ Moore is going to be better than in this year anybody than you would probably get with that second-round pick. But also, when I heard a mid-round pick, you know, I was thinking, like, okay, probably a fourth, maybe a third, and I could have lived with that. But a second-round pick with the cap space that we have and the cap that the hit that he's going to give us, it just seemed like a lot to me.
Yep.
And, you know, you can make the argument all day, like I said, about his presence on the team. But I will say, you know, also that this puts us, I think, in a good position for the draft because the Bills have so many options of what they can do now. And with them switching to the 3-4, we're going to need defense.
Well, I mean, that's still true. They've also, which is unfortunate, I guess, maybe that's not the best word, they've already done a lot of that in drafts, like last year. So I think I'd only have an appetite for so much of it, but they just made their second-round pick today. They added a fifth. That shouldn't be completely ignored, but it's way, way less valuable. The second-round pick is in, wide receiver. They're not spending the first-round pick on another one. I mean, I just don't even know what I would do if that happened. It's better than drafting two linebackers, I guess, but I just wouldn't even know what to do with that. I can't believe that'll happen. Yeah, I think Brady, I mean, he's in charge now. And I think this is interesting to monitor. We've started with him and are asking questions about how much authority he had before to run the offense he wanted. One thing that DJ Moore said or implied in that clip with Matt Harmon is that, you know, when he played for Brady in Carolina, there were nuances and there was like a, I don't know, this is not a quote, but I got the sense that if it isn't a quote, that they wanted to really open things up and, you know, did some of that. And that has not been the story with the Bills under Brady. And we all wonder, like, well, is that because of Brady or because of McDermott or because of the roster, which is constructed with the coaches in mind? And I think Brady, I would say this to him. With due respect to McDermott, I think Brady wants you to, should want you to think that, oh, that wasn't really me. Some of the good parts, yes, but I think he might want to open it up. I mean, why do you do this for this price if you don't? So it goes against the logic I've been leaning on for a couple of years when it comes to James Cook and three tight ends and Alec Anderson, you know. That's kind of the Bills' identity in the last couple of years. And what it isn't is throwing the ball down the field. And I think, you know, it's March 5th. I think Brady should want you to think, us to think, that he wants to change that fundamentally. Not drastically, but fundamentally. And so, if I'm right, I mean, it's not just what do they want to say, but it's what they want to do. And this lines up with that, that we want to be, you want your opponent to think that, let alone the fans. You want who you're playing to think like that you're dangerous down the field. And the Bills were so not dangerous. And you could say 30 points a game, again, playoffs, 30 points. Still, it has been said that they're throwing to Brandon Cooks and Mecole Hardman to end your season. Like that should be improved upon. So I think that is, you know, where this takes me today. And that's all, I guess, mostly irrespective of what they paid in this trade. But, you know, logically, the more you give up to accomplish this, the more you want to think that this is where you want to end up, how you want to play. Sammy Watkins, which is now like ancient history, but that trade was tough, and I decided to ride the wave. Bulldog hated it, and we hung out every day talking about Sammy Watkins. And what it had to be with EJ Manuel at the time, right? What it had to be is, are you going to do that? You're going to trade up, not try for Mike Evans, hope to have him fall in your lap, or even Odell Beckham, who would have. You're going to make that power move for Watkins is one thing you can't do. And that's like hide him. This is now your most important player. And the Bills didn't do that. And he wasn't a quarterback, but they really didn't do that. I mean, there were games where he almost never got the ball. And that was just like a total sign of dysfunction. So, I mean, DJ Moore doesn't have to catch 120 passes necessarily. But you want to think from this, there'll be more open and throw the ball. Just sort of do all the things you would do if you had this player. Let's hope, I want to say. Let's hope. Travis Yost next. Some Sabres and Bills with Travis. Sal Capaccio at 5. Sabres and Penguins tonight. Pre-game at 6. No Bulldog today. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.